Thank you, Father Craig, and it's good to be with you again tonight. As we think about bringing living hope into our lives, there's always a movement, a twofold movement in the spiritual life. And that twofold movement is movement away from those things that separate us from God, and then movement towards those things that unite us to God. St. Paul talks about that with the image of the sword, because the sword separates and has that function of separating from one thing but uniting another. And so we want to do that by looking at the obstacles and then looking at the tools or the blessings that unite us with God. You know, on this this day where we celebrate as a nation Martin Luther King, we remember his ministry and his witness and the good that Jesus wants to do in bringing about good things in social justice for the country, but also just a blessing in our lives as a whole. And so we pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. One of my favorite Bible accounts of the life of Christ is the story of the Transfiguration. And what happens with the story is, if you think back on it, and we'll kind of have our own chance to pray through it a little later tonight, is this idea that Jesus is out on the plains of Israel, the wheat fields of Israel, between the Sea of Galilee and the Mediterranean Sea. Rome has occupied the country and has built a Roman-style city at a place called Caesarea Maritima. It's Caesar by the sea, Maritima from Marines, you might think of. And so the Romans have controlled the Mediterranean, and then there's open wheat country, kind of like we have here. And then in the middle of that, there's this significant outcropping of a volcanic formation that is the Mount of Transfiguration by tradition. And Jesus invites Peter, James, and John to climb this mountain and hike with him, basically. And it's a significant hike if you go and visit there, if you go on pilgrimage. And they get to the top, and they're overlooking the edge of Israel. You can kind of see the Sea of Galilee off in the distance. And it's the land where the Israelites crossed over into the Promised Land. So when Jesus appears there in the Transfiguration, he's inviting Peter, James, and John to look at the land of promise. And think of the living hope that he must have infused in their hearts, in their lives, in their souls in that moment, when they, knowing their Bible, realized that what he was inviting them to look at was and is the land of promise. And not only that, but then he appears to them in a glorified state, full of light. And that's an indicator of what the next land of promise would be, heaven. And so in heaven, he's appearing to them in his glorified state. St. Thomas Aquinas says that the light that was shining from Jesus in this biblical account is not the way it operates in the natural world. In the natural world, you know, there's a light, a source of light, so tonight there would be lights, and that light shines through and then reflects off of each of us, and that allows us to see each other. If it's shining from the sun, the same thing happens. But the light that is described in the scriptures, Aquinas says, was light originating from Jesus as the light source. So the light was shining from inside of him in anticipation of a glorified state. And this was a prediction to Peter, James, and John of the hope they could have in heaven, of the hope they could have in him as the Messiah, of the hope that they could have in him and his ability to bring them the gift of salvation as it was promised. And so this hope is infused inside of them, so much so that Peter goes about saying, "Lord, let us build three booths, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah, that we might remain here." His heart was so on fire for the Lord. His heart was so on fire for Jesus. He was so open to the possibilities that the Lord was bringing to him that he wanted to remain there. Now, that's what we experience when we come into adoration. That's when what we can experience when we come into an encounter with the Lord, is that when it's that the sweetness of that encounter, and we know that our heart is open, the disposition of our mind, body, and soul is open, not cautious, not pessimistic, not analytical, not overdoing things, not underdoing things, not cold-hearted, not hard-hearted, but instead gently, peacefully open. Then the Lord can really go to work in uniting, as Father said during the homily, uniting his heart to our heart. And there's such a complete union there that we come to know the life of Christ inside of us, that living hope inside of us. So tonight, let's go a little deeper into living hope and inviting Jesus and the light of Jesus to enter into us and shine through us. This was the experience of Saint Ignatius of Loyola, who's the emblem of the Jesuits is that starburst. Well, where did that starburst come from? It came from his encounter with Jesus, the Father, and the Holy Spirit in the city of Venice during a time of prayer, and it was his own moment of transfiguration. So when you go to Venice, there's, you know, the gondolas and all of those things, and you go to the heart of Venice, and there's San Marco Basilica, where the relics of St. Mark are held. And then just a little ways over, there's a chapel where St. Ignatius, he visited San Marco, but he also visited a number of other churches in the city. And this other church is a church where, as he was praying, just as you've done with a holy hour, holy half hour, he encountered a light over the tabernacle. And so he asked, "Are you the Son? Who are you?" was his question. Very practical question, as you know, there's a light over the tabernacle, right? And the voice that responded said, "I am the Holy Trinity. I am Father, Son, and Holy Spirit." And so he has this heartfelt, real encounter with the living God over the tabernacle, and his heart is open to it. If you read his journal and his reflections on his life and his daily prayer, he'll talk about where his heart was at as he went into Mass, or where his heart was at when he had a moment of just spontaneous prayer, or where his heart was at as he was in some activity, or where his heart was at when he was just sitting silently feeling a bit abandoned. So I ask you tonight, where is your heart at tonight? Is it in a place of openness? I would assume so, because you're here tonight. Is it a place of curiosity and wondering what the Lord might have in store for you? Is it in a place of pessimism, or maybe a little hurt, a little bruising has taken place? Is it in a place of maybe super high levels of caution because you don't want to get hurt again in some way or another? But anywhere you're at where your heart is at is okay. Because an open heart isn't contingent on the condition of your heart. An open heart is contingent on the desire you have to encounter Jesus. Just like I described with St. Ignatius. And the others, you know, so many of the saints have these encounters. And so your heart tonight, just do a little self-analysis and say, "Lord, this is where my heart is at tonight. You know, I'm in a cautious place, or I'm in an open place, or I'm really longing for something, Lord." Or whatever your words are, put your words on it and just name it as we enter into tonight and are inviting Jesus to be our living hope and to move a little deeper in. Now, how many of you were here last night? Okay, so we're going to do a quick recap of Jimmy in that video of Jimmy. And I want you to think about it again in terms of Jimmy as a kind of a human version of the Holy Spirit. the storyline as we're entering into is that the coach has passed away tragically. Jimmy is the star player, basketball player. It's a basketball movie, Hoosiers. And so his heart has been broken. And so what does he do? As his heart is broken, he isolates. He goes cold. He curls up in the den and quits the game, steps away from the game. A new coach comes in, Coach Norman, played by Gene Hackman, and he's got big shoes to fill, and the team is making their decision, the town is making their decision. Their hearts are in all kinds of places, from very open, to moderately closed, to hard closed, to a solid rejection of the new coach. And coach has got his own heart, right? So coach is trying to figure out, where's my heart in this? If they want me out of here, I guess I'm out of here in this city hall meeting. And that's what they're voting on. Or if they say, yes, we want him back, is my heart willing to come back to this team and to this town? And so I want you to look at how Jimmy is like the Holy Spirit. And then we're just going to popcorn, see what moves your heart. And then we're going to have a sharing of hearts after the video. So he says, I've got something to say.
I don't know if I'm making change, but I think it's time for me to start playing ball.
Doesn't that feel great? Coach stays. That's a great finisher. So you watch how Jimmy walks into the room, doesn't really overboard announce himself. So his heart is in a good place, isn't it? And then what happens? Coach sees him walk in, and his eyes kind of light up, and then he follows what this player is going to do, because he is, as the student said last night, really good. And the room falls silent. And then he walks up and he says, I've got something to say. And the gentleman says, go ahead and say it. And now the entire town is watching. The entire team is watching. He's just walked past his team, past the town, past his guide in life at this point. And then he goes up and this announcement's made. And the team, or the lady says, let's call for a revote. And then the town says, says yes. And then what happens? The guy with the hard heart says, but we've already voted. And so you see how this interplay happens in the movement of hearts. What were some of the things that you saw, just yell it out, that you saw in the matter of hearts and what changed hearts? What hearts changed? Just a louder for me and I'll repeat it. The coach's heart lit up. Think of all the directions coach's heart could have gone. He could have hardened in on, these people were just rejected me. And so sayonara, I'm out of here on the next train. He could have gone halfway and said, well, maybe, and negotiated a salary improvement, right? He could have done that. But his heart is open. His spirit lights up. Think about how the Holy Spirit lights up the heart, your heart, when you allow him to speak into your heart. Another change of heart that someone noticed in the clip. Jimmy's heart. Go deeper. So he decides he will play for the coach or he won't play at all. And so he's had this massive transformation of heart where he's gone from a wounded heart because he lost the old coach unexpectedly, tragically, to now accepting the new coach in his heart and then going beyond that and saying, if coach goes, I go. So his heart is all in on this coach. Think about what the Holy Spirit can do when our heart goes through those same three steps. When we not only move from maybe a hardened heart or a broken heart, broken hearts are really sad and tough, but from a broken heart, right? And then we allow the Spirit in, Jimmy walks in, and what? We move to being a little open to the Spirit's movement and then saying, I'm all in, Holy Spirit. Yeah, I've been hurting over here, but I'm going to let you go to work and I'll be open to you going to work in my heart in this moment. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's got that heart. What else?
There was that older woman.
The older woman.
She was sitting next to the younger woman.
Yep.
Who knows how she voted before, but she was really excited to see Jimmy there. She was even more excited when Jimmy made his announcement, and she looked at the woman next to her after she was clapping. She's like, oh, wait a minute. Is this really, what is really going on? She was a little confused.
Yeah. Okay, so we don't know how the elderly woman voted. She was sitting there, and then she's evaluating the woman next to her. She's evaluating the room. She's evaluating Jimmy. She's evaluating the town, right? And then she yells out, I call for a revote. In Scripture, we would call that a change of heart. Jesus invites us to a change of heart. In other words, not knowing how she voted, you know, and maybe she's got super business sense and she was like, you know, I'm just going to go on the side of business here. I'm going to go on the side of the math and the stats, and the cards are against this coach and I voted him down. But all of a sudden she sees a new dynamic because the Holy Spirit's entered into her heart, and what's happened is she's now open to a change of heart. Maybe there's some of us here tonight who need that change of heart. A change of heart in a relationship, a change of heart in our attitude about circumstances in life. This has always happened to me. This will always happen to me. This is the track of my life. I'll never get off of this track in my life. This is how things always happen for me. When we use the word always and apply it to our lives, there may be circumstances that validate that statement on the one hand, but we're not sentenced to that life. And what Jesus may be inviting you to do to bring that living hope into your heart is to pray for a change of heart tonight. One more observation about the hearts in the clip tonight. Thank you. Yeah. Maybe stand up a little louder for everybody. So, and I mentioned you, I appreciate you saying that because you've watched the movie, right?
No,
but you have friends?
Yes.
And they said that the young woman sitting there was his caretaker because his parents had passed away. Is that right? In the storyline. And so his parents have passed away. So he's got triple heartbreak here in this experience. And she's sitting there. She's anxious about him. She's wondering which way things are going to go. She's got a pensive look on her face, somewhat stressed. And then it opens up as she sees things open up. He taps her shoulder as he walks in, I think, and then she taps his arm as he walks out. And there's the mother's love, is that right? So she's kind of, we were talking last night, the Mary figure in the clip, where she's interceding for him and really on his side and encouraging him. Maybe your heart is a helping heart, which is the heart of Mary, the helper. Mary is a handmaid and the helper to Jesus. And what does she do? She intercedes. With her whole being, she intercedes. Maybe there's someone here tonight who's at a heart, has a heart for intercession. Someone's on your mind, in your heart, that you want to intercede for because they really need that help. And so maybe begin lifting that up in prayer tonight. As we think about these things and invite the Spirit in, then the next step or phase of tonight is going to be a little exercise where we look at the timeline of our life. And so if you take that blank piece of paper that you received just a few minutes ago, at the very beginning there, take your pen and hold it horizontally, and then draw a line across the middle. Draw a line across the middle. And then a vertical line at each end of that line. So it's going to kind of look like stitches. A vertical line at each end of that horizontal line, and then three kind of evenly placed tick marks through the middle, so you have four quadrants in the line. I've got a math teacher here, professor here tonight, so I've got to make sure I've got the right language for this. So it's going to look like stitches. A line with four marks. These represent the four quarters of your life so far. The timeline of your life so far and the four quarters. So I'm 52, and so I put 25 on the middle mark there. That's halftime for me. All right, and then the next quarters here, going backwards and forwards. What we're going to do is I'm going to ask you about the highs and lows in your first quarter, second quarter, third quarter, and fourth quarter. So we're going to go, the highs would be noted above the line, and the lows would be noted below the line. This is just for you to look at and kind of serve as a memory tool for you, but to also to process your time, your timeline, and those things in your life that are highs and lows that we're going to bring to the Lord in prayer and ask him to anoint your timeline in our time tonight. So we're going to enter into 10 minutes of prayer, guided prayer, and I'm going to invite you to visualize yourself with Jesus. Well, any questions on the instructions so far, real quick? Yes. You're trying to look. You're. Are you an English major? I'm a philosophy major, so the math. Hot dogs and hamburgers already. This is great. Okay, so draw a line down the middle, and then two vertical tick marks at the beginning and end of the line, and then three kind of proportionally spread out down the middle of the line. So you have four spaces there. Those four spaces representing the four quarters of your life so far. The four quarters of your life so far. And what I'm going to ask you to do is in the first quarter, we're going to look at highs and lows. So in that first section of your life, what were a few highs and what were a few lows in that? And you're just going to make a little pencil note or a one-word comment that makes sense to you in that first quarter. And then we're going to move into the second quarter in our time of prayer, the third quarter, highs and lows, fourth quarter, times and lows, highs and lows. And as things come to you, more words come to you, just make a little dot or make a little note, a word that makes sense to you, a memory tool for you that you can bring to the Lord in another time of prayer, separate time of prayer, because we're going to hike that mountain in a bit. So starting now, just invite you to close your eyes, visualize yourself standing with Jesus in a wheat field with Peter, James, and John, and you can feel the air of the ocean. You can hear the wave of the wheat. You can feel the breeze on your face. And Jesus has his hand in your hand or his hand on your shoulder, his arm around your shoulder. And he's looking at you and he's saying, let's look at your timeline. Let's think on your timeline. Let's look at the friendships in your timeline, the relationships. dating and marriage, family life, health and medical, spiritual life, finance and business, professional highs and lows, parish highs and lows, all of those things in your life. I'm going to walk with you to the first quarter of your life. Think back to the very beginning, to the story of your birth, and all the way through those growing up years. What are two or three highs, blessed moments in those years? And just write a word or two down, a phrase of those blessings in that time. Blessed memories. What were some of the difficult times? Times of sacrifice, expected or unexpected? Times of hurt or loss? In that early time, in that first quarter, maybe there's a memory or experience that is too painful even to write down, but just as a mental note to mark it there. Sometimes it's the things that we try to forget that mark a difficult time. This isn't a time to react or to judge or to evaluate. It's time to just be open-hearted with Jesus. And he's right there to assure you. He's standing close to comfort you. He's the priest, he's the bridegroom. His desire is friendship. And then he says, let's go on to the next quarter. What were some of the highs in the next quarter of life for you? Moving towards that halfway point, two or three highlights, blessings, points of gratitude, graces. Again, just a word or phrase that makes sense only to you. Maybe there were a few tough spots in that time frame. Challenges or stretching points or times that were where the belt had to be pulled tighter just a little bit or even a lot. Thinking in the areas of friendship, relationships, marriage, family life, health or medical. Maybe there was a surgery in there. Maybe you're close to God or far from God spiritually. Maybe there was a financial or business boom or bust. In your student life or your professional life. Two or three things there. And now moving into the third quarter, the Lord leads us, the Good Shepherd guides us with his patient and gentle hand, again, not judging, not evaluating, but gently and openly remembering the blessings in the third quarter of life so far. Some highlights, some joys, tiny joys or medium joys or great joys. Sometimes it's hard to remember the blessings. If that's something you're experiencing, just pray a short prayer to the Holy Spirit. Come, Holy Spirit, open my mind to remembering the good times in this phase of life. And naming those difficult times, those trials that may have occurred in the third quarter, the short to middle distant past, those things that you remember saying, I'll never, or I always, or this always happens. Those times where we make those vows that this will never happen to me again. Maybe there's a vow in there. And now the Good Shepherd brings us to the present quarter of our life. The things that have immediate impact and that we realize, wow, that really is a gift or a grace or a blessing from God. That my heart is truly open to these things. What are those things? What are the highs there? Just make a note there, a phrase or two. And what are some of the more recent lows the Lord is asking you? What are those low points, those things that sank your heart, those things that caused your heart perhaps to close just a bit, that made you more cautious than you usually are, those things that make you flinch when you think about them? And again, we invite the Holy Spirit into your mind, into your heart, to give you that word or that image or that phrase for the highs and lows of this current quarter of life. Maybe there's a word that applies to earlier on. Feel free, be free to just go back and add that word to wherever it belongs. Don't just dismiss it. That's a spirit at work. Raising that to your consciousness and just bringing it to your eyes and make a note of that wherever that word belongs. In friendships and relationships, marriage, family life with kids, health or medical, spiritual life and journey. difficult times of prayer, easy times of prayer, closeness to God, distance from God, financial or business, professional, parish. Just peacefully and prayerfully consider your timeline as we draw this exercise to a close and pray to not have the eyes of an evaluator, not to have the eyes of a judge, not to have the eyes of a hardened heart, not to be overly dismissive of anything that's happened or that you remembered or noted, but to be at peace with Jesus, the Good Shepherd, whose constancy in his love, as Father mentioned during the homily, is always there, always present, always constant, always reliable, always warm and open and comforting. And try to see your timeline through the eyes of the Good Shepherd. Look into the eyes of Jesus and let him look at your timeline. And as you see Jesus looking at your timeline, open your heart to the love that he has for you, to the light that he wants to shine into your heart. Let his heart speak to your heart. Focus on his heart instead of insecurity or defensiveness in your heart, cautiousness or over-optimism in your heart. Just focus on opening your heart to the heart of Jesus. Jesus holds your timeline in the palm of his hands, the Psalms say. Have you ever thought that everything, every detail, every moment and micro moment, every great experience, every microcosmic experience that's ever happened to you has been held in the hands of a loving God? In that first quarter, in the second quarter, in the third quarter, and in the present time. With that in mind, I'm going to take it a little further, and we're going to watch a video clip about how a coach took a player and a team to the next level. And how they cross not only the 25 and the 50, but how far they can go when there's a guide on their side. Tonight's kind of message and focus on the Holy Spirit living within us is a guide who's on our side. One of the names of the Holy Spirit is guide. So watch to see how Coach acts as a guide, how Coach is like the Holy Spirit. Following that, we'll break into small groups.